edition of the Nerd Watch Podcast. I, of course, am G Money here on another lovely Wednesday evening right here in the heart of Wailuku Town on the beautiful island of Maui in the great state of Hawaii. And yes, man, oh man, it is another day here in the islands, one day closer to Maui Comic Con. All right, well, let me introduce my crew first. At least the ones that's here, because we just got about a little over an hour to go. So let me just get right to it, shall I? Joining me first, he is the producer, Seducer. Last time I hung out with him, he was doing a lot of seducing. It was pretty crazy. He's a master at it. So it's pretty nuts. Say hello to Kai Kai. He's in the house. Hello, Kai. How are you?
What's up, butt monkey?
Whoa. What's with the disdain?
No. I feel like I need to throw it out there.
Oh, you just had to throw it out there? Nice. Well,
again,
listen,
not here.
No one's here right now. Just you and me. But I wanted to get on. I know we're about a half an hour running, a little half hour late. But I wanted to get on because I wanted to let everybody know that we are just a few short days away from Maui Comic Con, December 11th and 12th at the Maui Beach Hotel in the ballroom, the Red Dragon Ballroom, the Eliair Ballroom, whatever you want to call it. It's the Maui Beach Hotel Ballroom, December 11th and 12th. It's going to be a very, very, it's going to be one of those very good events you're not going to want to miss. It's nice to have it back, finally. We're going to have Frank Cho there. We're going to have Ed Piskor and Jim Rugg. And I don't know. Can I spoil the other thing, or is that? Oh, I can because it's already been in the news. Ernie Reyes Jr. is going to be there as well. Ernie Reyes Jr., you know, from Sidekicks, from Red Sonja, from Ninja Turtles. That guy, Ernie Reyes Jr. and his lovely daughter Lotus Blossom will be there as well. Yes, I believe Joe wants to know if there's going to be shrimp tempura. I believe up in the buffet room there will be, but that's not part of the ticket price. Because there is no ticket price because it's free. Maui Comic Con is happening December 11th and 12th at the Maui Beach Hotel Ballroom. It's going to be amazing. Kai, you have any more information that you'd like to share, my friend?
Nope.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for being on the show. I want to let you guys know, of course.
No connection to the damn con.
I just want to let you guys know, of course, you guys can follow us. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch, on YouTube at NerdWatch Nation, and on Twitch at NerdWatch808. That's NerdWatch808. Please, give us a follow, a like, you know, the things that, not what I wanted to do. Anyway, by all means, give us a follow. I think you'll really enjoy what's going on over here. Make sure that you guys attend the free event, Maui Comic Con, December 11th and 12th at the Maui Beach Hotel Ballroom. You're not going to want to miss it. And I don't know. I, unfortunately, will not be in attendance. Can you believe that? I won't be in attendance.
Wow, that's already sounding great already.
Doesn't it sound better now? Doesn't it sound like a better time since I'm not going to be there? I'm not going. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it, but that's okay. Come on down and support Maui Comic Con. I'm assuming that there's going to be, of course, as you know, Night Darling will be there. So Night Darling cosplay contest, if I'm not mistaken, which will be a lot of fun. Joe wants to know if I was banned from the con. As a matter of fact,
Joe,
I was banned from the con. I will no longer be attending. I was not banned. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it this year, though, unfortunately. But
Joe, he was banned. Alika did it already.
Shut up. Anyway, you guys are not going to want to miss out. Please join us. For more information, go to MauiComicCon.com, MauiComicCon.com. And, of course, you can also follow them at Maui Comics or Maui Comic Con on Instagram as well. So make sure you do that, too. Is it Maui Comic Con or is it Maui Con? I can't remember which. But anyway, look it up. They're on Instagram. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, as you all know, it is Wednesday. And you know what that means? That means that there's comic releases this week. Last week we didn't get into comics because we were talking so much about the Ghostbusters, and we didn't have an opportunity to go into any details about comics. I'm just going to name a few. If you like, here we go. Let's get right to it, shall we? Got some comic books for the week. Every single Wednesday is new Comic Book Wednesday, so let's find out what's happening this week in the world of the comic books. All right.
It's a whole lot of ooze.
From DC Comics, Batman number 118 is out today. Also, The Amazing Spider-Man number 80 is out today. Also out today is Inferno number 3 from Marvel Comics. Also out today is DC Comics Dark Knights of Steel number 2. That was the one where they mix the superheroes with medieval, the Middle Ages. Be kind of cool. Also out in the comics today, Star Wars number 19, Marvel Comics, from Marvel Comics, I should say. It looks actually kind of cool.
Before it goes to Dark Horse.
Yeah, before it goes to Dark Horse. Well, okay, let's be fair. I mean, there's I'm not going to say anything, but there's transitions happening in the comic book space about who owns what property, blah, 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 blah. And Alika would probably be a better person to talk about that. Also coming out today, Marvel Comics, Hellions number 18. Also crossover number 10 from Image Comics. DC Comics, Batman 89 number 4 comes out today. Also out today is The Swamp Thing number 10. Also, Superman, Son of Kal-El 2021 Annual number 1 is out today. If you like the Suicide Squad, the number 10 Suicide Squad comes out today from DC Comics. Also coming out today from Marvel Comics, X-Men Legends number 9. Also out today, Green Lantern number 9 is out today from DC Comics. Also from Marvel Comics, Amazing Fantasy number 5 is out today. There's also a comic that I don't remember seeing in the last few weeks, but they're on issue number 5, Fantastic Four Life Story number 5, The Aughts. So
the
I don't
aughts.
Know. Yeah, it's like the double O's, you know, like the 2000s. Mm. Also, coming out today, Arkham City: The Order of the World Part 3 or number 3. Also, The Walking Dead Deluxe number 28. Also today, Star Wars Crimson Rain number 1. After the dawn comes the rain. What a terrible, 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 terrible starting line for this. The story that began with the War of the Bounty Hunters continues here in the second installment of a trilogy that will reshape the history of the Star Wars galaxy during the Age of the Rebellion. Pretty cool. Oh, what? We don't care about Star Wars anymore? Actually, I don't. I really don't, to be fair.
I got way too bored with the comments after the first 4 books.
Also out today, The Joker Presents a Puzzle Box. That's a weird one. Also, Captain America Iron Man number 1 is out today. Also, The Death of Doctor Strange Blade number 1 is out today. Also from Image Comics, What's the Furthest Place from Here number 2 is out today. Also, if you like them Boom Studios guys, Mighty Morphin number 14 is out today. Also out today, The Scumbag number 11 from Image Comics is out today. I think that's one of Todd's favorites. Also out today, Crush and Lobo number 7 is out today as well. Another one of our good friend Todd Bernardi's favorites, The Good Asian number 7 is out today. Also from DC Comics, a comic called The World of Krypton, a modern telling of one of the most storied periods in comics. So check it out, World of Krypton, as Marlon Brando would say. The World of Krypton is out today. Also out today as well, Soul Plumber number 3, one of our favorites. Soul Plumber number 3, check that out from DC Comics. Also from Image Comics, Ordinary Gods number 6. Is out today as well. Also out today is Magic the Gathering number 9 from Boom Studios. Boom Studios. Also from IDW Publishing, TMNT Best of Shredder number 1 is out today as well. Also, brand new comic, it looks like, from Boom Studios, Buffy, the Last Vampire Slayer, number one. Interesting. She's the last one now, huh? Interesting. Wow, that's kind of cool. So, and I think that about does it today. That's, you know, we're getting towards the Christmas season, so not as many comics, I guess. So make sure you guys check out Maui Comics and Collectibles for all your latest comics. If you want any comic books, check them out. It's Maui Comics and Collectibles in the heart of Wailuku Town at Request Music. You're not going to want to miss out on this week's comic book collection. Put some in your subscription box. Anyway.
Why you got to make it sound dirty, man?
It's not dirty. I didn't say
it.
It doesn't sound dirty. Make it sound dirty at all. Anyway, I have been... Listen, we're going to talk about a couple of things. Number one, as most of you know, we are so close to the premiere of Spider-Man No Way Home. So that's going to be interesting. We're going to talk about that as well. Also, I got a couple of stories I want to get to today, which will be a lot of fun. But before I get to those stories, and boy, oh boy, there are a few stories. I have been bombarded this last week, since the last show. I have been bombarded with films. I have been watching a ton of movies. So I have gone through a gamut of movies. Mostly Netflix, to be fair. Stuff that I haven't watched. I finally got to watch Bright with Will Smith.
Now?
Yeah, I never watched it before. I just watched it.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was all right, I guess. I got to see The Harder They Fall, the Western with Idris Elba and Regina King. A lot of people are fans. I am not one of them. I didn't think it was that great. What else did I watch? I watched the Ballad of... What was it? The Ballad of Billy Scruggs, I think it was, on Netflix. I saw that as the Joel and Ethan Coen Western. I watched that. Ah, man, what else did I see? Oh, I watched Murder Mystery with Adam Sandler. That was actually kind of fun. I enjoyed it with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. Got to watch that. Yeah, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Thank you, Joel. Buster Scruggs, that's it. Yeah, so I got to see that, which was kind of fun. I thought that was okay. It could have been better, but, you know, I wasn't disappointed in it by any stretch, but it could have been better. Jeez, what else did I see? I don't know if I told everybody this, but I watched the director's cut of Rocky IV. Rocky versus Drago. That was a very interesting film. If you're a fan of Rocky, do yourself a favor. Go seek it out. You're going to want to seek it out, of course. But before we get started, our Dark Knight. He is the man who is a punk rock superstar, a horror aficionado, and a guy who disappears in a flash.
We lost him already.
ladies and gentlemen, oh, there he is again. Just like Batman to come running back. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Show a little reverence for the man with the cape, the cowl, and the utility belt. We call this man Ganon. Ganon, it looks like you're in the Millennium Falcon. All I see is lights.
Your face is.
My face is the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, nice. I'm in your face.
Nice, nice. Anyway, Ganon, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, just rhyming and stealing, you know how I do.
Oh, nice. So what have you been up to, sir?
Working, pretty much. Nothing too exciting. Getting ready for the Minority Show on Friday.
I was going to say that. I wanted you to talk a little bit about that. I mean, has it been... we had crazy weather the last couple of days, and I'm assuming you guys were you guys able to practice and put everything together? Did the weather and the electricity get in the way?
Let me tell you a little something about the minorities. We have a saying.
Yes.
And that saying is, nor rain, nor sleet, nor snow. Wait, I think that's the post office.
That's the post office.
Same thing.
Nice. So
we're not going to bring any packages, but we'll still get stuff done while it's storming.
Nice. So any updates you'd like to talk about with your show? What's happening?
I mean, unless you're not following anything on the Facebooks and whatnot, there's not a ton to say. Misfits Tribute Show, we're playing it with Undercity and Mud Corpse. It's kind of our annual thing. We didn't do last year for obvious reasons, and we decided to do it in December and kind of throw it around the same time as Maui Comic Con, because why not? We're going to have some people from out of town coming to visit Maui, so give them some live music too while we're at it. But I don't know if any of them are going to be down for it or not, but they'll be able to go if they wanted to.
Well, can I ask you this? It's been a while since you performed live.
No.
Are you prepared? Do you feel like you're a little rusty, or how you feeling about it?
Have you ever listened to a punk rock band before?
I try to.
Apparently not.
Once in a while, yeah.
I mean, because even at a punk band's worst, most people are still fine with it.
All right, I was just asking.
Which I know is not a great sell for anybody that's never come to see us before. But no, we'll be fine.
Oh, fantastic!
As a matter of fact, we have a practice tomorrow, which would be like our last little polish up before Friday, and yeah, we'll be fine. We're gonna do two sets, a bit of a shorter set of our own originals, and then we're gonna break down into a whole Misfits tribute set. So we're going to be up there a while.
All right. For those that may not know, Gannon, who are the Misfits?
How do you answer that question? If you don't, then you have to turn into like, oh, what's punk rock? You know what I mean? Like, they're literally one of the most classic punk rock bands of all time. A little bit more of a, you know, their whole shtick was, you know, they're a lot more horror themed. Their lyrics are very dark and a little terrifying, although the music was a little upbeat and catchy. It's a weird dichotomy of ideas, and it's what put Danzig on the map, if anybody knows Danzig that doesn't care about what he did before his solo material.
Hey.
I don't know what else there is to say about it, really.
Hey, that's that guy that sang Mother, right?
That's the guy who got knocked out with one punch.
Yeah, that's the guy. Yes, the guy.
And even funnier, the guy that knocked him out wrote a whole book about it.
Wow. Amazing.
I can't remember the title of it, but if you look it up, you'll find it.
The Misfits Legacy, as some of you may not know, lives on. Their discography of music is quite well known.
They're
obviously
still playing.
Yeah, and they're still playing. So
they're still touring. Danzig buried the hatchet with Jerry Only, so they've been doing, I don't know if they've done touring per se, but they've been doing a lot of one-off shows where they play big old stadiums, and yeah, so
fantastic.
I'm sure they all still hate each other, but the almighty dollar rules all.
Hey, listen, would you perform with somebody you hate with the money they're pulling in?
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I keep coming back to this show and I get paid nothing.
That's a good point. That is a good point. That is fantastic. Sucker born every single day. So, Gannon, I was just talking about. By the way, let's clarify those dates. What day is your sets?
We're trying to fly under the radar and just try to treat our show as an unofficial kickoff to Maui Comic Con, but Alika graciously allowed us to just say it flat out is the kickoff to Maui Comic Con. So basically, day one of Maui Comic Con is my show at request. So it's going to be at about 6:00. I think we're doing doors at 6 on Friday, December 10th.
And Friday, December 10th, so doors at 6. And is this a free event?
I think doors at 6:30, running around. So it will be limited capacity during, you know, due to county rules with COVID and everything else. I don't have an exact number of how many people we can allow in the room, unfortunately. I sure they come early. And if they want to leave early to surrender their wristbands, everybody's going to get a wristband so they can go in and out, because request does get hot as things go. So if they want to step out, take a breather while the bands are setting up, they're free to do so, but they have to keep the wristbands on for reentry.
Fantastic. And this is
a it's going to be $10 cover.
$10 cover. Okay, that's what I wanted to know, if it was a free show or if there was a cover. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So $10 cover, and you can check it out at Request Music, 6 p.m. Doors open on December 11th. So December 11th is what you're going to is what you want to
keep. By the way.
Yes.
By the way,
yeah.
I'm going to drop an announcement here. We're going to be debuting our new merch featuring artwork from Maui Comic Con and Maui's own Kaimana Yamada.
He's a talented guy, as a matter of fact. I like that guy.
And by the way, he's like Brad Pitt.
Is
that he? Dude is gorgeous.
Wow.
That dude is gorgeous.
Wow.
You ever met him?
Oh, of course.
You ever met him?
I did.
He's gorgeous.
Yeah, he's quite fetching. He is also the man responsible for the artwork that you see behind you if you're watching us live on the Instawebs. So he's the one responsible for the logo, as it were. So, yeah.
He does Gamma Dice. He does tattoos at Mid-Pacific. Or no. No, it's not Mid-Pacific. I think it's Pacific Roots of Kihei. I could be getting that completely wrong. But anyway, yeah, he's a tattoo artist. He does the comic book Gamma Dice, which issue 2 is supposed to come out this weekend, but unfortunately didn't work out that way. But he will be helping folks out getting copies digitally if they want to check it out. So he will have a booth there. Hella stoked to have him there, and now back to being a Maui resident, which is the even better part.
Yeah, man, he's been here for this long. I mean, he's been back for a while, and we haven't gotten a chance to see him. So it's going to be very cool to take a look.
He's originally from Lahaina,
yeah,
so
man.
It's bad to have him back.
Yeah, very, very cool. So make sure that you guys check out the kickoff at Request Music. The Minorities will be playing 6 o'clock, doors open, $10 cover. So make sure that you guys check it out. We haven't had live music like the Minorities in a while, so it'll be a lot of fun. Check it out, Request Music, 6 p.m., December 11th. What?
I mean, that's not technically true.
It's not?
I mean, there have been some harder edged bands that have been playing, like the Playground stuff. Let's just say the Minorities have been MIA for the last 2 years, so this is our first time back.
Sweet, live. Sweet. So it's like riding a bike. So you guys will be just fine. Yeah.
It's like riding a bike without a seat on it.
Ooh, that's what punk rock music is, huh? Interesting.
You know you're punk rock if you ride a bike without a seat on it.
Yeah, my butt's already sore. Yikes. Anyway, please support Maui Comic Con December 11th and 12th. Support our good friend Gannon and his band, The Minorities, at Request Music on December 11th, 6 p.m. at Request Music right here in Wailuku. $10 cover. It's going to be very, very cool. Check them out as well. Maui, you can check out, of course, Request Music as well. Great albums, great records, great CDs. You can check them out as well while you are enjoying the show.
Unfortunately, not my record.
Yes.
You can't buy my record there.
No, but your record's available digitally, isn't it?
Yeah, you can get it digitally. I'm just too, like, I don't know. Who the hell buys CDs anymore, you know?
It's true. It's a good point. I don't.
And vinyl's too damn expensive.
I have a subscription to a music service. Is that okay?
Columbia House, you still do that?
Yeah, I still do that. I get like the prices are keep
six
going
CDs insane. For a penny.
Yeah, yeah, and that, but you make up for that penny, and you know, for the 60 years that you're part of the Columbia House. So yeah,
you got like Mariah Carey's greatest hits and The Offspring's Smash.
Yes.
MC Hammer's Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him.
Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. Gannon, you missed out because we just did some comics for the week already. We talked a little about the comics that were coming out this week.
Wait, Alika's on the show? I didn't hear him.
Oh, no, you heard me because I gave the comic book list because that's what I do. I have it on standby. But here's what I wanted to ask you. I was just, before you came on, I was talking about all of these movies that I had an opportunity to catch up with, because I've had this last week, I've been able to kind of sit down and enjoy some movies, and I've been, most of them Netflix, mind you, not all of them, but most of them have been like films that I've wanted to see on Netflix, like The Harder They Fall, The Five Bloods, and then I think. Oh, I watched. I finally watched Bright, which came out like 4 years ago now. I think. So
holy crap! Really, Bright?
Yeah. I watched Bright.
Didn't hear all the people saying how terrible Bright was.
Yeah, terrible. It wasn't terrible. It just wasn't good. I don't know.
It's not an awful movie, but it's a colossal waste of time.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand how Max Landis could write something as cool as Chronicle, in my opinion, and write something as crap as Bright. I don't get it.
Here's the thing with Max Landis, and I mean, that dude's super canceled right now anyway, so yeah, he's not really even worth the conversation. But let's say let's say Max Landis still had the sway that he did.
Sure.
The problem with Max Landis is he's really great at structuring screenplays and comes up with fascinating ideas.
Sure.
He completely fails when it comes to interesting dialogue.
Good, yes.
Which I think that's his biggest fault, because like he'll come up with a really cool idea and you figure it out very quickly that the idea fizzles out fast.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's exactly what happened to Bright.
In the case of Chronicle, I think, and I'm almost willing to bet the farm on it, the handoff on Chronicle was a little bit stronger as far as the director's case was than Max Landis's idea was, because you almost kind of get the sense that all Max Landis really came up with was the idea of guys that discover a thing, get superpowers, and it's all found footage. Because beyond that, when you really get into it, it's actually fairly pedestrian.
I really like Chronicle. Big shout out to Jennifer, who's in the chat. How's it going, Jennifer? She said she liked it. I'm not sure if she means Bright or Chronicle. I'm a huge fan of Chronicle. I really liked it. I even watched the director's cut of Chronicle, which I actually thought was kind of cool. So,
Bright's a really great idea. It's just like there's so much opportunity wasted is what it feels like to me.
I agree with you on that 100%. Like I thought it was interesting how they established the world. It almost felt like it was a challenge of two ideas. Like, it felt very David Ayer, but it's like the pieces didn't fit. And I don't know.
You can definitely tell that Max Landis was writing to David Ayer's tone.
Tone, yes, 100%.
But the problem is Max Landis has this really neat idea of medieval times being an actual part of our history, but you know, the more you think about it, the less the movie works, because they set up this idea that orcs are, I mean, for lack of a better way to put it, orcs are basically treated in the same regard as like black people are, as far as racism concerned.
That's the overarching.
And
kind
yet,
of...
racism on the human end of it still applies as well.
Yeah.
So it's just like. So you never, it's never really clear. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just when I watch it. It was never clear to me if like humankind really banded together in the hatred of this one species,
right,
or if we right. all still hated each other just like we do now, only now there's also orcs. Like there's one more thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
It was hard for me to kind of wrap my head around that. Like he should have made it neater and cleaner.
Yeah,
because that would change everything fundamentally on such an epic level, like literally an epic level, where it's like, you know, I completely buy that the elves would be the rich higher class people. That would make sense.
Sure.
Orcs, you know, they would be the underlings of society, because that's exactly what they were in old stories.
Yeah,
you know, but magic exists with wands and stuff like that. They keep setting up that if you use a wand as a normal person, it would kill you. And
right.
of course, because it's a Will Smith movie, it works for him because it's Will Smith.
That was dumb. I didn't like Will Smith in the movie. Yes, Jennifer said it was Bright. She liked Bright. It wasn't that I hated it. I really wanted to be a little more than what it was. You know, that was my thing. So I finally watched that. Boy, what else did I watch? I've been on this tear of just watching stuff, that watching a backlog of things. So I started watching Triple Frontier. There goes Gannon again. I had the opportunity to finally sit down and watch Inside Job, the cartoon. I got to see Inside Job, the one on Netflix that everybody was raving about.
Yeah,
I gotta say something. I thought the concept was good. I didn't think the show was that funny. I think the concept was really neat, like with that there was this organization that actually controlled the conspiracy theories in the world, or in the, you know, in the world. I thought that was really cool, but the concept wasn't there, in my opinion. I thought the concept was cool, but it just, the execution wasn't there. So I got to watch Inside Job. I mean, there's a couple of good episodes, but overall it wasn't that great.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
It's a cartoon show on Netflix. It's a mature rated cartoon show on Netflix.
So there's a fit in it.
Yeah, it's called Inside Job. So yeah, there's animated characters in it. Gannon, you may want to check it out.
Are they oofing?
Sometimes.
That's hot.
Yeah, that's kind of hot. Speaking of oofing, if I may, I also watched the part two of Masters of the Universe Revelation.
Oh God.
Oh, I'm sure you're gonna have nothing but great things to say.
Oh my gosh.
Before you get started, I was watching the clips of the show, and I already knew I wasn't going to bother catching up with the show where there's the really cheap and desperate joke with Fisto.
Oh, that was garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, garbage.
I don't even remember the joke exactly, but somebody's like, I think he said something along the lines of, I think he could use a good fisting.
Yes.
And the second I saw that clip, I'm like, how does Kevin Smith think that's funny? It's a joke a 13-year-old would come up with, for starters. It's not that clever.
No.
And it's such an obvious joke. And it's just like, be clever if you're going to do something like that. But anyway, I saw that clip. I was just like, I'm not going to bother the rest of the show. I'm really not.
Well, you didn't miss much. It was an utter disappointment. If you're a fan of He-Man at all, you will find yourself, of course, upset and angered. I'm not the biggest of He-Man supporters, as they say. I mean, I enjoyed He-Man, but I will say that this story was just, it was just stupid. It was dumb. It made no sense.
Master of the Universe concept has such potential to be like repurposed and redone in interesting ways, because there's a lot of rich material to mine.
Yes.
To repurpose in a different, through a different context. At the end of the day, yes, is basically stories made for toy commercials, but the ideas behind how you get there can be restructured and repurposed to be interesting. Like, I don't know, there was Justin Marks wrote a screenplay for Master of the Universe for a film that never got made, and I've read the synopsis to it, and it's very Lord of the Rings, and he set up the idea of the war between King Randor and Skeletor, and that's how Skeletor lost his face, and
correct,
then he retreats to the mountains, and he basically does scientific experiments using science and alchemy and all these things, and basically each one of his henchmen is actually more of just a byproduct of his experiments. Like, he's trying to perfect and create this thing to basically help him destroy Eternia, and is in essence eventually kill He-Man. But he ends up with all of these byproducts, and those are all the henchmen, which completely explains the henchmen in very interesting and cool ways, like why they're all so damn different,
right?
Why they all have a weird little gimmick.
Sure.
And I was like, that's exactly how you should do that movie, and they never let him make that movie,
which is a real bummer. I mean, that sounds much better than what we got here, because I tell you what, I'm going to spoil something here that really kind of drove me a batty about the story.
It's about the evil instinct with Skeletor.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Okay.
Let me just explain this really quick. Okay. So Skeletor it has become Skele-God, right? It was an interesting concept. We got that right from the end of the
was
part
it?
One.
Really?
So Evil-Lyn decides that, let's just say that she decides that she is going to manipulate Skeletor. Okay? So her best weapon is her body. So what she decides to do is that she wants to, you know, she wants Skeletor to, for lack of a better term, bone her. Now,
you know, that's so weird, because everything we've ever seen of Skeletor, the last thing it seems like he would ever be interested in is sex.
Okay.
You know what's interesting? There was a comics that came out for this, and it showed that Skeletor was trying to get his family back together.
Right, okay, which I've heard about.
Well, for back when he was Keldor, though. Not since he's been Skeletor.
But here's the stupid part. Here's the stupid part. Okay, I understand that Skeletor, the wiles of Evil-Lyn got to him. Got that. Done. Okay, I'm okay with that. Here's what I don't get. Evil-Lyn.
You didn't get to see insertion shots. That was your problem.
Evil-Lyn manipulated Skeletor enough to say, listen, you're going to have to put aside your Skele-God powers, so while we're banging, you don't kill me.
Wait. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Wait, was that established that would happen if they had sex? Like, if we have sex, I'm going to die?
No, she just manipulated him. She just manipulated him, saying that he needed to set aside the Skele-God powers that he had, so that when they make love, have sex, whatever, that so put away the powers, that way you don't kill me while we're oofing. And
that's a literal line of dialogue, isn't it?
Almost.
Evil-Lyn flat out says that. She's like, okay, before we oof, I need you to go release the Skele-God powers over in the corner over there.
Right.
And then come back.
So the manipulation was rife, right? So as you...
The whole thing, the whole thing doesn't work. Because all we've ever seen is Skeletor. First of all, he doesn't even seem like he's the least interested in Evil-Lyn.
Nope.
Second, there's absolutely nothing sexual about that guy at all.
Nothing.
There's never been... Granted, in the original cartoons, they're not going to give us that, but... There's never been even the slightest hint that he's even remotely interested in not just women, but anything to do with sex at all. There's never been even the slightest hint.
Now, but
with that said, neither correct. Is He-Man, but you know.
Now, here's what we find out. Not only does she deceive him and he falls for it, because obviously Skeletor's an idiot, she takes the powers for herself, and she becomes Evil-Lyn. She becomes He-Man. And she even has...
Sweet, why is he Skele-God with those powers, but she's Evil-Lyn with the power? That doesn't make sense.
Because she actually has the H on her chest.
You're shitting me.
No, I
wish he wasn't.
I'm not kidding you. I am
Sockham, he didn't have the H on his chest.
I don't know. It's so stupid. So
none of that makes sense.
Okay. So
life doesn't make sense.
Do you see though now why I'm worried about Clerks 3?
I am 100%. I'm with you. I am with you, Gannon. I agree with you 100%. I am
He's not as good of a writer as he used to be.
Nope. Not at all. Not at all.
And yes, I understand he didn't write everything top to bottom, but he's the showrunner, so anything the other guys wrote, he signed off on it.
Yeah.
So just like, you see now why I'm worried about Clerks 3? Like I feel like he's tapped out of all of his best ideas, and now he's just coasting on stuff he's seen in other things and just kind of rejiggering them for something else.
Yeah. And don't even let me get into the whole sorceress and Teela thing, which drove me nuts.
Do they oof?
No, you weirdo. But I will say this. The other thing about that revelation is that, number one, it's awful, so I would avoid it like the plague, or hate watch it, whichever one you want to do.
I did read that, like, in like basically minute one, they set up that He-Man's not dead,
right?
That he does come back,
right?
But he's still like oddly sidelined, even though he's back.
He is sidelined, without a doubt. He is completely sidelined. As a matter of fact...
So it's like Kevin Smith learned absolutely nothing from the Star Wars sequel trilogy, because that's literally what they did in those movies. And he's just like, I'm going to do exactly what the Star Wars movies did, but for He-Man, where just like all the things that people would love to see, I'm going to go shove them over there in the corner and do stuff with characters nobody really wants to see.
Teela is like, He-Man. I mean, Teela is Rey. From Star Wars.
You know what? I technically don't mind that, but at the same time, if you're doing that story at the expense of your central characters, then that's a bad move.
Well, and then on top of that, by the end, and I won't tell you how it gets there, Teela's girlfriend becomes Man at Arms. So
I'll bet she does. Not applying.
Huh?
Do not buy his girlfriends.
Wait. Do they oof?
No, they don't. Here's something else that I want to.
What the hell's the point of the show, man?
I will say this. Here's the other thing. I'm not
going to nostalgia and money.
I'm not going to put it into context because I want everybody to be angry about this. And even if I put it into context, it's still stupid. And in one portion, at one time in the show, Prince Adam actually has the power. Okay, he has the power. All right. That's not mind blowing, right? He has the power. I'm not going to set it up how it happens or why it happens, but Prince Adam gives the power back to Skeletor. So,
but why?
He wants them to feel what it was like to do good.
Yeah. See, it's worse when you say it. It's bad. It's worse. It's just
I
worse.
Watched this whole thing and my mind was already over it.
Worse when you say
it. The thing of it is like it's hard to be precious about it because it's not like the original cartoon shows were ridiculously mature in the first place.
No. But they were fun though.
No, but the point of it is you can do that show today and not make it completely ridiculous and silly. And it seems like he's just like, nah, screw it. I'm going to make it ridiculous and silly.
Yeah, this is like a parody of He-Man. This revelation is a parody of He-Man, is what it is.
Like I said, it literally looks like his best idea was like, what if we Force Awakened He-Man?
Bingo.
Because that's all that show really is when you really think about it. It's just the entire Star Wars sequel trilogy with He-Man characters.
Bingo. 100% agree with you.
That's the most clever thing he could think to do with He-Man. And it's just like, it's no wonder you kind of get the sense that Netflix kind of knew even before the show came out that they were just like, they bought into it because of the celebrity of his name. But then when the show started getting finished, they're just like, oh man, this is not going to go over well. So that's why they have this whole other He-Man show that they threw on Netflix at the same damn time.
Yeah.
Which is actually really good.
Yeah.
See? But nobody's really talking about it because it doesn't have any famous names attached to it.
And that's because everybody's pissed off at He-Man already, and that's a problem. And the thing is that the He-Man cartoon that's more for the kids is actually pretty decent, but it doesn't hold. It's not exactly true to the lore of He-Man. I mean,
I'm not a fan of the look of it. I know that.
Yeah. Well, it's a better show regardless. Anyway, don't watch. Let me rephrase. Hate watch He-Man Masters of the Universe Revelation because it's not He-Man. Hate watch.
Nah, screw that. Watch Black Mirror. Just find all the Black Mirror stuff on Netflix and just watch that.
Oh yeah, Black Mirror's good. I'll give you that. Also,
watch good stuff. Don't hate watch. Don't hate watch things. I think the entire idea of hate watching things is such a waste of time. We have so little time on Earth. Why would we want to watch something that we hate?
Why? Because I want to hear what it's like for Alika to hate watch things like October Faction. That's my favorite. So. Yeah,
that's his prerogative. But sure. I wouldn't want to tell somebody to watch something they're going to hate. I'd be like, you know, watch something good instead.
Well, I tell you what, I watched something that was mediocre. If that makes it was better. It was definitely better than He-Man, or excuse me, Masters of the Universe.
Gordon Ramsay.
I watched the new Rock movie on Netflix called Red Notice.
Talk about burying everybody else in that movie just to talk about The Rock.
Let me tell you. Well, he's produced it. He's the main star. Gal Gadot is in it. Ryan Reynolds is in it. I'm going to tell you something. It's getting a lot of bad reviews, but now it's the most watched Netflix movie in its history. It is fleeting fun to say the least, but to be fair, it's not good.
Okay. You do get that The Rock at this point is just this weird untouchable thing that he can be an absolute crap, but people just love watching him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like
he could sell you anything. If they said, "Hey, let's make Sister Act 3 with The Rock," everybody would go see it. If they came back and said, "Hey, let's do Tooth Fairy 2." People be like, oh, wow, I didn't see Tooth Fairy 1. And then all of a sudden, Tooth Fairy 1 would be like a huge cult hit again because most people missed that when that came out. But if you did a sequel, like, not only would that one do really well, but then Tooth Fairy would do well. Like, I knew The Rock was going to be here to stay when I saw The Journey 2 come out, and it was enormous.
You know what's funny is that I thought Journey 2 was actually a great family movie. I thought it was fun.
No, but the point I'm making is the first movie, nobody really even saw, or at least it didn't feel like anybody really saw it.
It was with Brendan Fraser. Yep.
Yeah, like one of the last things he did before he disappeared for a while.
Yeah.
And then I didn't, you know, nobody in a million years never would have thought there would be a sequel to it. And then the sequel comes out with The Rock, and I'm just like, oh, wow, that looks terrible. And then that movie was a huge hit. Huge.
Joel is right, though, by the way. There is a Tooth Fairy 2 already. He's right, and it stars that guy who says, get her done. What is his name?
Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy, that's it. That is totally it.
Well, everybody knows what I mean. I mean, Tooth Fairy 2, where he comes back, because they can always do that thing where they underwrite the previous sequel to make it like it didn't happen.
It's true.
Like that XXX2 that came out.
Oh, the one with Ice Cube? Yeah.
And then he comes back and does the other sequel, and they kind of just act like XXX2 didn't happen.
Well, listen,
yep.
I there's another movie that I watched other than Red Notice, but I'll get to that in a second. But first, he is our Man in Black. He is also the man who is super late, the master of card tricks, the maven of magic, and our
super
gaming
late
guru.
You started late,
ladies and gentlemen. It's Format. He's in the house. Wow,
the hell, hey, America.
What's going on, Format? Beyond. Format, what's going on? So listen, I in the vein of Red Notice, while I'm talking about it, I just want to let everyone, I want to let you know that I finally got to see another movie on Netflix that that I never got a chance to see. I watched Six Underground with Ryan Reynolds in it.
Oh, why?
I actually thought that was much better than Red Notice, in my opinion. I actually thought it was good. So, yeah, if you're...
I suppose, but, I mean, it's a Michael Bay thing, so I automatically...
you check out?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Like, yeah, we need explosions and, I don't know, Lamborghinis or something. I don't know what that movie's about.
Yeah, well, it's great. Six Underground is a lot of fun. It is to explain it simply, it's a Batman movie if Batman had, like, the Teen Titans behind him is what it is. That's exactly what this movie is.
We lost Gavin.
Oh, man. Oh. We lost Greg Sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Never mind.
Yeah, he's back.
He has returned.
He has returned. Anyway, one more film before I get into the news as well. I got to get a couple of stories really quick. This past week, I had the opportunity to watch yet again. I watched Warcraft. I'm going to tell you something. I think that movie has been critiqued too much. I actually think that Warcraft is a very good movie. I actually really enjoyed it.
I agree.
It holds up well. The action is good. The story is actually fairly decent. There's a little bit of confusion in it if you're not paying attention or if you're not aware of the lore. But after watching it again, I gotta say, and maybe you agree with me, Format. Maybe I don't know if you do. I think that the biggest mistake that Warcraft made is starting the story where it did.
Oh yeah, I agree. I mean, I said that during release. I said that it looks great. It flows well. It's just the wrong starting point.
I think that in my opinion, if we wanted to do the story of the orcs and the Horde and the Alliance, I would have started with Thrall, and I would have started in Durotar. I would have started there. And then
yeah,
this would
a flavor
correct, and I would have started there because we could have flashback to everything in this Warcraft movie, everything, and we could have flashback to everything. We could have seen Durotan. We could have seen all of that. I think they should have started off with Thrall, and I think it would have been more successful. Number one, and I think it would have been more readily acceptable to the public, the American public at least, in my opinion. I think that its biggest problem was Duncan Jones, and I say this about J.J. Abrams, and I'll say it one more time.
He's a fan.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a fan. Duncan Jones is a fan.
Those are never the ones you want in charge of a project.
Bingo. You want him as a consultant, not the guy who's in charge.
Yeah.
But I will say overall, though, I will say that I think that that movie is sorely underrated. I think that the performances are well done. I think that technology, that CG technology for the orcs was amazing. It was freaking ridiculous. And I really,
everything about the preparation for that movie was so well done. Mm-hmm. I mean, Weta Workshop went out of their way to recreate stuff that in the game, the actors and the actresses had to relearn how to walk.
Yes. Yeah. It's crazy. And you know what's funny is that, you know, I really liked Paula Patton in the film. I really think that they make you believe that she's half human, half orc, which she isn't.
They kind of shafted her with that.
Yeah, and I felt like, you know, but you know what? After watching it again, they throw the hint that she isn't, because she is relating to the people, or the Draenei that are in the cages that Gul'dan is about to suck the life out of. So, and she looks at them in the cage, and I'm assuming that as a Warcraft lore fan, I'm supposed to pick up on that, but I don't think anyone else did.
It's a very subtle thing.
It's super subtle.
It's very quick to
super subtle. But
miss.
I thought
it's easy to miss.
I think Paula Patton did a good job. I watched it again, and I was really impressed with how good the movie was, and I understand why people didn't like it, because, you know, to be fair to that movie, it felt like, and I don't mean to be disparaging to the film when I say this, but it felt like a more adult-oriented Harry Potter, and I don't think anybody was prepared for that in some respect, if you catch my drift.
I guess that's fair.
From a casual perspective, you know what I mean? But
I just, like, if this was the quality of what they were going to put out, I would have just wanted, like, an expanded-on cutscene.
Yeah, no, you know, every time...
Because if there's one thing that Blizzard, like, knocks it out of the park with every set or expansion or whatever, it's the trailer for that expansion.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Those things are mind-blowing.
When I see the Kirin Tor, I'm like, crap, there's a story. When I see the elves, I'm like, oh, crap, here's another story. You know, I'm like...
We don't get any of that.
I don't want to get any of that. And here's what really sucks after watching it again. What really sucks for us is that because Blizzard is so toxic right now, I don't think we're ever going to get it. That's what stinks. So it really sucks, and it really
maybe a decade down the line.
Hopefully. I just hope
I'm not like 80 years old going to the theater for Warcraft 2. Like, oh my god.
Yeah. Speaking of that, what's interesting is that on that same line, I've also been able to I haven't watched the whole thing yet, but I also watched Riot Games' Arcane series on Netflix.
Hey, welcome to the club.
Now, I'm going to tell you something.
Do you understand the words that Kai says now?
Yeah, I do. I still think it's the League of Losers. I still make mock it, but... I will say that this is the Arcane. I actually thought that I haven't finished it. So far, it's actually very good. I'm really impressed with the animation. I actually think the story is actually very good. What I find fascinating, though, is, and this is what I was thinking about, you know, with Arcane and it being related to League of Legends, who the creators of being Riot Games. And I don't mean to get all controversial or crazy about this, but Riot Games was embroiled in the same kind of issues that Blizzard was.
But they got it out of the way already.
Oh, so is it? Okay.
Oh, they took care of it a long time ago.
Okay. So it's okay for me to like this to like this show?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
okay.
It's okay to like this. Riot's making all the right moves right now. I mean, they're releasing a game like in every single format.
Yeah.
In every single genre.
Yep.
And they're all tying it back to the characters in Arcane, and Arcane is rivaling Squid Game right now as the most popular Netflix thing.
Well, it can't touch Red Notice with Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, to be fair.
Well, how can you when you've got that much star power?
That's a good point.
My favorite part is how they drink their own alcohol.
Yeah. I have to tell you that.
Is that a bottle of aviation gin? Oh my God, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds, you bastard. But to get back,
watch the phone ring and he picks it up. Hello, is this my Mint Mobile phone?
To get back to Arcane, if you are a fan of animation, even if you're not a fan, I'd recommend Arcane. It's such a weird mix.
Like when I first saw it, I thought it was cel shaded, and then I was like, no, not cel shaded. Something else.
Yep.
This is something completely different.
And I think that that's what captivated me the most was the animation style. That the animation style is absolutely captivating to me.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
But I really and because their names escape me because I have so much going on in my head. The two main leads, the two girls, I really like them.
Thank you, Jinx.
Or Powder.
Powder. Yes.
Powder.
I really like them. They're relatable. I really enjoy their arc so far. So. That's what makes
them fan favorites.
Yeah, so I really enjoy that very much. So, watch Arcane. If you know nothing about League of Legends,
you don't need to with Arcane. Yeah. That's the great part.
That's what's awesome, right? You don't have to know nothing about it. I highly recommend it.
Arcane made a couple of people start playing League again.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So, I'll never pick up that trash.
That's what I was talking about with Riot making all the right moves right now.
Well, I tell you what, they needed a win. And I think Arcane and what they're doing with their games is actually pointing them in the right direction. So, good on them. I mean, that League of Legends mobile game, I guess, is taking off. So... You know,
it's basically League, but on your phone.
Yeah, what is it called? Something Rift? I forget.
Wild Rift.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
Wild Rift. They've got so much going right now.
Well, anyway.
They got League, they got TFT, they got the Legends of Runeterra, they got the Wild Rift, they've got the one with Ziggs and Heimerdinger?
Oh, the...
It's like a runner, but you just...
Tech Mayhem.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's so much.
And then Chronophage is coming down the pipeline, then... Wilhelm.
And there's talk of a League MMO. Game. Yeah, there's also a League fighting game in the works, too.
Wow, really?
They're touching base on every genre.
Wow, yep. That's crazy. Crazy. Well, I tell you what, the way the gaming industry is going, I'm not a fan lately. Everything has been free to play, and everything has been just, you know... Money after, and I get it, but you know, I hope that's not the way this goes, but you never know. But anyway, getting back to the point, I'll talk about gaming here in a minute, but before we get out of here, a couple things. Patty Jenkins, if you didn't know this, Patty Jenkins has stepped away
Wonder
from
Wonder Woman's Patty Jenkins,
yes, Wonder Woman's Patty Jenkins, has stepped away from the director's seat.
That weird commercial where she's talking about how her dad used to be an X-Wing pilot,
yes, exactly. That's that one,
Patty Jenkins.
Yeah, she is actually, she's stepped away from the director's seat and will no longer be behind the camera of the Cleopatra biopic starring her Wonder Woman collaborator, Gal Gadot. By the way, just to let you know,
was Gal supposed to be
Cleopatra?
Yep.
Okay. Here's what I want everybody to know. For everybody that's hating on Gal Gadot being Cleopatra because she's Jewish, just know she's also Macedonian, which makes her actually a perfect person to play Cleopatra. So. Right.
But she's not Egyptian, so.
Well, that's more Egyptian than anything. So. I mean, I understand, but to be fair.
What? You can't pull that out from nowhere. Oh, that's more Egyptian than anything.
Well, if you study history.
That's like all those people that are related to Genghis Khan because he banged a bunch of things in the past.
Okay, first of all, he didn't bang anything. He raped and he pillaged. That bastard. Anyway.
He banged everything.
What do you think I said?
Interestingly enough, though, while I finish this grape in my mouth, sorry, I was.
Smooth. Uh-huh. Smooth move while we wait for you to digest.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Done. Sorry. Anyway,
nice.
Deadline reports the monster filmmaker is bowing out and will be replaced by Marvel's The Falcon and the Winter Soldier director, Kerry Scoglin. Though she will still maintain a producer role. What's interesting is, as you know, Jenkins wants more time to focus. Okay. I don't think this is true at all, but okay. Jenkins wants more time to focus on Wonder Woman 3 and Star Wars Rogue Squadron. which in light of previous reports appears to be back on, because remember we reported that she stepped away because she and Kathy Kennedy weren't seeing eye to eye on where to take Rogue Squadron. So apparently it's back on.
Nice.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here you go. Fantastic. Here you go, Format. Controversial, and this is according to the report, controversial in its casting of Gadot as the title historical figure, Cleopatra is in production from Paramount Pictures and is currently set to be written and executive produced by Laieta Kalogiridis, one of the filmmakers behind Shutter Island. Kalogiridis was also the developer of the twin disasters that were 2004's Alexander, starring Angelina Jolie and Colin Farrell, as well as the WB's Birds of Prey TV series that barely lasted a season.
No! I really hope we get a scene in Cleopatra where it's her and she's racing a bunch of other Egyptians through this wacky obstacle course. Where she needs to get to the end, and then she learns a lesson about cheating or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, some news, like I said, not much news because it's in December and so, but this is very interesting that came across the desk. Chris Hemsworth has been the MCU's Thor since 2011, and after his first two solo films and the first couple Avengers films, we really got to see his personality shine as his character took a comedic turn in Thor Ragnarok. Garbage. I hate that movie. And in the subsequent Avengers movies. Now we are gearing up to see him in the upcoming Thor Love and Thunder. What does his future as Thor look like beyond that film? Well, in a recent interview on the Today Show, Hemsworth was asked if he would like to do another round of films like his Avengers co-star Spider-Man actor Tom Holland, who just signed on for another trilogy. Wow. Mm-hmm. Another Spider-Man trilogy. And he replied, "How many Spider-Mans has Tom Holland done? He's a little behind me. I think he's done 3. I've done 6 or 7 Thors, so maybe. As long as they'll have me, I'll turn up. But I feel like there might be waning that kind of enthusiasm for me to keep going." So, yeah, I don't think anybody's tired of Chris Hemsworth. It all depends if he's tired of playing the role. So that's what I say.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, he really has come into his own when it comes to the role of Thor.
Moving forward, should every Thor performance be Fat Thor?
Hope not.
I don't know, because he only got big and fat because he lost confidence in himself. Now he's just oozing the stuff. So, you know what I mean?
So fat people lose they're only fat because they lose confidence in themselves. I see.
Well, what's your excuse?
No.
Okay.
You bastard. Last but not least.
Well, maybe you should start picking up hammers.
I mean, I should. Mjolnir, anyone? Mjolnir? I wanted to report on this story because, number one, it's funny, and number two, it has nothing to do with nerd culture, so get ready.
Man. Is this the trial of somebody who got busted for shoplifting or something?
No, it's the hoax case with Jesse Smollett. Juicy?
Oh.
But Juicy?
Juicy.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Justice for Juicy. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that. Tandy Newton. Of course, you know Tandy Newton from Westworld and from Solo. She is okay? And this is what is nothing
She's
to do
with the heiress to the Tandy computer fortune.
She is set to join Channing Tatum in director Steven Soderbergh's next installment of the Magic Mike franchise.
Oh, God.
Magic Mike's Last Dance.
Last Dance? Oh, my God.
Tatum is set to reprise his role of Mike Lane, and Reed Carolyn is writing the script. The project is being developed for HBO Max. There are no plot details to share, thank God, because the other two didn't really have any plots.
There were no plot in there.
All right, to be fair, the second one didn't have really of a plot, but the first one did. So to be fair, not that I've seen them or anything.
It's not even a plot. They just ripped off
their clothes.
Breaking two electric boogaloo.
There are no plot details to share regarding the film, and we don't know who Newton will be playing, but we do know that the story will center around male strippers. Duh. And with Mike's Last Dance being the title, we can only imagine that he's going to move on from the male stripper life. Hey, listen, maybe he can.
I hope he doesn't.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't
this
either.
Is his last dance because he injures himself so bad he can't move. Like he loses a leg or something.
Or after he gets off of work, you know, laid off of work at the strip club, he actually makes a wrong turn and heads down Crime Alley.
Oh, and then he gets jumped by Juicy Smollett. Nice. I like that.
See, there we go. I'm telling you. And then he doesn't make it. And then we see
that's pretty brutal.
Pretty brutal, yeah. Right? We could see the pearls on the ground, and you know, because they pull it off of his neck. Anyway, listen, it'd be crazy.
Off of Juicy?
Off of Tatum. Off of Mike. Yeah. Off of the magic one. The first two, get this. The first two films combined to gross nearly $300 million worldwide, and in 2017, the franchise spawned the successful stage show Magic Mike Live.
Wait, there was a live show? Yeah. Oh, now I gotta see this. Right,
fair enough. I don't know why I'm reporting this.
Of course it was.
Cynthia in the chat defending Ragnarok. I hated Ragnarok so bad.
Hey, Sin. Well,
I hated Ragnarok.
He's upset.
Cynthia says, "I want to see him as Kevin again in another Lady Ghostbusters." yeah, I could see that. Channing Tatum is actually in this new dog movie that I get, or there's I forget the name of it. But he's in a new dog, like a new family.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So
he's like ex-military or something. Is ex-military.
Yeah, the dog's ex-military. Yeah. And he has to take him to his friend's
It's
funeral.
Like a Turner and Hooch for the new generation.
For a new generation. All right. Yeah. But yes, Magic Mike's Last Dance. I will do. Listen, because I'm a film critic, I will do my due diligence and watch Magic Mike.
Yeah, that's
2,
why.
Double sure. XL.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
It's cool, man.
It's hilarious.
We don't judge here. You don't have to, you know, make up stories or nothing. If you like Magic Mike, you like Magic Mike.
Stripper dogs. You know, the funny thing is, Professor Barry told me a very funny story. He said that he went to go see it on premiere night, and he was the only guy in the theater.
I love how you throw Professor Barry under the bus.
He would tell you that too. He's the only one.
He's like, Professor Barry went out of his way to make sure he was there for the premiere.
He was.
Magic Mike.
He did, because he had to write about it. So he went to go see it.
He had a Channing Tatum shirt on. It was all glitzy. Okay. And
I didn't know about that. But I will say this. Channing Tatum does have some amazing abs. There's you can't. You know, you got to give the boy credit for that. I mean, I'm jealous. There's no doubt about that. So,
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I just know we're not getting a Gambit, so yeah. I don't really care.
Yeah. Which is really disappointing, because now, I don't know, are we going to get X-Men at all? I don't know.
Not for a long time.
I know there was rumors about Hugh Jackman
reprising his role.
Yeah.
Yes, I heard about that. Kevin Feige, apparently, according to the rumor mill, Hugh Jackman has been convinced by Kevin Feige to reprise his role as Wolverine. Listen, I have nothing but respect for Hugh Jackman. Nothing but respect for his performance in X-Men and what he was given at the time. But can I say that I don't think it's a good idea for him to be part of the new Marvel Universe? Is that bad?
But why? I mean, he could show them that he's the greatest X-Men.
I think that it's time to reset.
What if every scene he was in, he was tap dancing?
Or he's singing Oklahoma. I'm in.
Yeah, right. Maybe.
He's the boy from Oz. I get it. I know my musicals. No, what I'm saying is that isn't it time to just reset this franchise in some respect?
Cynthia. Well, I mean, yes and no, because there's a lot of
tearaway pants. It's exactly what he should have. That'd be awesome.
Then wait, the dog or
Hugh Jackman.
Huge
Jackman.
Yes. Well, I mean, this kind of falls back to what you were talking about with Hemsworth, right? If he wants to continue in the role and whatever.
Sure.
And it would be weird if everybody around Tom Holland is swapping actors.
That's true. I guess that's true, too. Yeah, maybe you're right. I guess. I just think it would be a good time to reset the X-Men. That's all I'm thinking.
They should do with WoW.
Oh, me? Listen, Cynthia, I already have a pair of tearaway pants. And listen,
I don't think they were built that way, though. They just became tearaway pants because he took.
It's onlyfans.com/gmoneybuns. onlyfans.com/gmoneybuns. Put in discount code Sweet Cheeks for your first month's discount of 30%. All right, that's Sweet Cheeks.
30%. That's all.
That's it. Yeah. Well, it's the holiday, so it's normally 25.
30%.
Better deal any other place.
Yeah. You should see the chaps that I wear on that site. It's crazy. Anyway,
you wear chaps? I don't believe you even can fit it.
Hey, listen. Luckily, they're not actual pants. They're just chaps. So they can just be glued on and pasted on. It's fine. Trust me. No one complains about it. That's easy.
Oh God.
No one complains about it. Anyway.
Nobody complains about it because no one's seen it yet. So I'm sure they'll start complaining once they
see it.
You go live. Yeah.
All right. Getting back to the point.
I gotta go see if Honey has a code for this site.
Anyway, getting back to the point, I understand your point about Hugh Jackman still being in it to kind of keep the continuity. But do we really need continuity in the Disney's Marvel universe?
We don't necessarily need it for this.
No.
I was one of the few that were like, okay, MCU. If we get X-Men, we get a whole new cast.
Correct.
But a lot of people were kind of, you know, snapping like. But these are the characters that we grew up with. It's like, no, it's not.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah.
These are the characters that you were left with because there were no other options. They're not the characters that you grew up with.
Interesting.
Those characters are still in the book.
Still in the book, yeah. That's a good point. Well, like I said, I think Hugh Jackman, there's no offense to Hugh, because I think Hugh Jackman, if he came back, would be great. I just think my theory is that maybe it's just time to reset.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's done the role. He's essentially lived the role for so long. There's, you know what I mean?
Ooh.
There's nobody better right now.
Cynthia said that people have been suggesting Daniel Radcliffe for Wolverine because he's short. That's interesting. Huh. Interesting.
That would be cool. I could see that happening, but the only thing is he's going to have to beef up.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. I agree with you. I agree 100%. And I, you know, to be fair to Daniel, I think he could do it. I mean, he's a good.
Yeah, I think he could. I think he's a good enough actor, but I don't think he strikes me as the type that wouldn't do an MCU movie on principle.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe you're right.
He's doing all these artsy fartsy stuff now.
Well, Swiss Army Man's very good if you haven't seen him in it, or Lady in Black. That was another good movie Daniel Radcliffe's in that I really like.
Yeah.
I mean,
Guns Akimbo was like, I wasn't expecting that.
I don't know who in the Nerd Watch said this, but did someone say Magic Mike? Give me that HBO Max movie. I don't know who the hell
that's
that
your
was.
Aaron.
Is that Gavin? Aaron? Of course it's Aaron. Who else would it be? Of course it's him. Anyway, just a couple of things before we get out of here. Oh my gosh, it's already 8:45. I gotta get going. Really quick, as you all know, that it is December, and of course Christmas is but upon us, and every single Tuesday there are new Blu-rays and DVDs. So I just want to let you know that this week, if you didn't know, December 7th, the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, December 7th, we got in 4K Krampus 4K. It is the, and this what's really cool about it is this is the naughty cut. This is from Shout Factory, and I really can't wait to get my hands on it.
How does this relate to Pearl Harbor?
No. It's the December 7th is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. That's why I was just saying, because it's December 7th.
I was expecting Pearl Harbor, the movie.
No.
And then you were like, Krampus.
Krampus. So I want to try and check this out from, so for the first time ever, the original cut of Krampus, for those who are naughty, not nice. So I'm really excited to check this out. Whatever. So I really liked Krampus, and I'd like to see the whatever this naughty cut is.
He's got two bills.
He might. I really thought Krampus was a very fun movie. Also on Blu-ray,
I thought it was good too.
Oh yeah, I really liked it. Also on 4K Blu-ray today, Who Framed Roger Rabbit in 4K Blu-ray today looks.
It's the judge.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Beavis and Butthead Do America is on Blu-ray today. Also in 4K. From Kino Lorber, one that I have been looking forward to for a very long time. And apparently this version, this release, has two cuts of the movie that I've been highly anticipating. Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme, with the director's cut from John Woo, is on there as well. I'm super excited. Man,
that's a classic.
I love Hard Target. I really think that that's an underrated classic, in my opinion. I like that movie. Yep.
Claudie Van Damme.
Also on Blu-ray today is Cry Macho from Clint Eastwood. That's in 4K. Also a movie that didn't get a lot of theater time, but is actually a very cool flick, from Joe Carnahan, the guy who has created Smoking Guns, Smoking Aces, excuse me, and the A-Team movie. Cop Shop with Gerard Butler is out on Blu-ray today.
Cop Shop.
I'm not going to tell anybody about it.
I don't even think I even heard anything.
Exactly.
On that one.
It's actually a very cool flick. You should check it out.
Is it?
Yeah. It's very cool.
You don't sound very convincing.
Oh, I don't? Well, I'm going to tell you something.
What's cool about it?
It is a very fun Joe Carnahan style of action film, and if you've seen Smoking Aces, you kind of get.
Well,
Do you remember Smoking Aces? Ryan Reynolds? Yeah, it has that vibe to it, but not as over the top. It's really cool. It's really cool.
So it's a muted Smoking Aces.
It's a muted Smoking Aces.
That sounds terrible.
It's not terrible. It's actually very.
And it's called what? Cop Shop.
Cop Shop.
Is this like a Walmart that you go to buy police officers?
No. So stupid. No. Not at all. So Cop Shop is out.
Sure, I'm the stupid one.
Werewolves Within is out on Blu-ray today as well. The movie that is based on the video game of the same name, The Werewolves Within. I am going to go watch this. I've been looking forward to it. And we got it because we're movie critics and we got the screener, so I can't wait to go see that.
Screw you.
Yeah, I want to watch Werewolves Within. So anyway, did we just get that? Yeah, we just did. It's in the whole IFC film series. You'll see it. Anyway, also just really quick, for those of you that are gamers, I want to let you know that Call of Duty just released, as of today, the all-new Call of Duty Warzone map, Caldera, is out if you are interested in that. Also, if you're a big multiplayer gamer, Call of Duty Caldera, the new Warzone map, is out. And also out today. hey, calm down. Also out today, exclusively on Xbox, Halo Infinite. The campaign is now out today. So it's been getting some... Hey, you don't like Halo? What the hell's wrong with you? Halo...
Been there, done that.
Hey, come on. Halo actually looks really good. I hope it's good. It's been getting rave reviews. So we shall see.
The multiplayer has been getting rave reviews.
Well, actually, the actual single player, I've been reading some reviews, and they like it.
Nope.
What are you talking about?
It's not good. You're being brainwashed and gaslighted.
Oh, I'm getting gaslighted. Wow, I'm being gaslighted. Yeah. Go figure. Anyway,
everybody knows Halo fell apart after 3.
Cynthia Hard Target is G Money's OnlyFans alter ego. Damn it, that's a good one, Cynthia. Son of a bitch. G needs to get back to his OnlyFans, I guess. Where you gotta go, G? My OnlyFans page. No, I do. I do another show on Wednesday nights too, so I gotta get prepared for that as well. So anyway,
yeah, so we put all of the things that he does on one day.
Yeah, everything is on one day, so I'm kind of rushed. Late. And then I'm rushed. But yeah. I just want to let you know before rushed? We get out of
here. No, you started late.
Before we get out of here, December 11th and 12th at the Maui Beach Hotel in the Maui Beach Hotel Ballroom. It is Maui Comic Con with special guests Frank Cho, Ed Piskor, Jim Rugg, even
a certain Ernesto Reyes.
Ernie Reyes Jr., along with his lovely daughter Lotus Blossom, will be there as well. So if you want
to, on the island already. So
very, very cool. So if you are looking forward to doing something outside of the house. And if you were looking forward to Maui Comic Con coming back, oh, Cynthia says, nice seeing you guys. Invite me on there. I will. I have you're still on my list. I didn't know. You got to let me know. I will do that next Wednesday, and I'll be more than happy to invite you on. I'd love to have you on. So that'd be fantastic. I'd love to have Cynthia on. We need her perspective. We always enjoy having her on.
No, you show. Just enjoy fighting with her.
I don't enjoy fighting with
it
her.
It sounds weird coming from you.
Why? Yeah. Why does everything sound weird coming from
you?
You
need her perspective.
Oh, we do. I like having Cynthia on the show. I always have. I always liked having her on the show when we used to talk about Twin Peaks. That was always
until,
fun for me.
Until she came on the show and you were like, I can't wait to get rid of her.
What are you talking about? Whoa,
what?
Wow, that is
beloved sin.
That is such evil lies. Evil lies, because I would never do that ever. Anyway, we are out of time.
Like that time Magic Mike was at the theater and we could have taken sin and you were like, nope.
Yeah, I'm sure Cynthia will want to see the movie with three of us. Ooh, for Matt spilling the tea. There is no tea to spill because he's a filthy, stinking, dirty liar is what he is. Anyway.
What are you talking about?
Wow, Earl Grey. Hot.
Anyway, we are out of time. Have a wonderful week, guys. We will see you. Well, you won't see me, but you'll
see. Hey, I will.
You'll see Format.
I'll
see Kai.
Have a fantastic weekend.
Everybody have fantastic weekends all around Maui Comic Con.
Well,
we will
die
have
at the con.
We will have a review
happening.
Of the con next week, Wednesday, on the show. And
God, I hope so.
And I will.
I'm over the con crud by then.
And I'll even invite Cynthia on the show next week too. And we'd love to have you on.
Wow, so, the way you say it, like it's an afterthought.
Oh, we.
Yeah. Come on, man.
That's a good prank. You're such a dick. You're such a dick. Man, you guys are such dicks. Anyway, we're out of time. So have a wonderful weekend. We will see you guys this weekend at Maui Comic Con at the Maui Beach Hotel. What time do doors open for, Matt?
They open at 9.
Doors open at 9 a.m.
for the public.
So 9 a.m. for the public. It is a free event.
And it's
so,
free.
And it's a free event. So make sure you guys...
Supporting local artists and local talents across the islands.
Yeah. So I want to send, of course, big shout-outs to the people that were watching, like Joel and Jennifer and, of course, our dear, dear Cynthia. We will see you guys next week. So until then, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy, and we'll see you back here only on the Nerd Watch. Have a great Maui Comic Con, guys. We out of here. Aloha.